Amen. And we all need to have it. You have to understand that the Word of God is God said. Let's go to Hebrews. Let me read what he said rather than tell you what he said. Hebrews 11. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Well, I thank God that every day I'm better and better. Boy, I've never really seen a congestion and sinus thing like this, and I found this wonderful. You know, I used to take this all the time. Something that's called olive leaf extract. I used to take it all the time. I don't know why I stopped. But I started back taking that, and naturally the Word of God. We always give God the honor and the glory for that, and for the olive leaf, and for whatever else. But there is every day. It's a little less hassle, a little less hassle. Praise God. So, are we in Hebrews 11 yet? Amen. I'm walking by faith, saints, not by sight. And it says in verse, it's Hebrews 11, 6. This is the verse that this church was founded on, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, or with no faith, it is impossible. What does impossible mean? Can't do it. Can't do it. It is impossible to please him. Underline the word him in your Bible. If you got a Victory Bible, just look at it. Amen. Him. Now, so the question is who is him? It's God. So let's read it this way. Now, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? For he that comes to God must, underline the word must. In other words, there are no options here. You don't get to, pick and choose. It says that you, when you come to God, you must believe that he is, that he exists. He's not a fairy tale. He's not something that folks created 2,000 years ago or so. He is real. You got to believe that God exists. He didn't say you got to believe that you've seen him or heard his voice or talked with him. He says you got to believe that he is and that he exists. Amen. So how many people believe that God is? Every Christian ought to have a hand up, at least one hand, and maybe even two. Amen. So, amen. Glory to God. You got to believe that God exists. And sometimes people don't think God exists because we pray prayers that are really not scriptural and they don't get answered. And we lose, quote unquote, faith in God. And so we don't think that he's there. Or something tragically happened. You may be haven't really been a prayer all your life. Somebody in the family got sick and you start praying and they passed away. You know, and you told God that if he do this, he'll never have to have trouble out of you no more. And then yet and still they passed away. See, that don't have anything to do with whether God exists or not. Amen. And so we have to understand there are rules and regulations to prayers and how you pray and the effectiveness of your prayer based upon whether we are doing it based upon the Word of God, or is it a desperation prayer that you really don't believe, you're just hoping that God is going to answer the prayer. Amen. So you've got to believe when you pray that God heard you. Amen. And that's what the Christian must understand. It says, but without faith, it is not possible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, number one, and, everybody say and that he is a what? A rewarder. See, most people think God is just in the punishing business. Amen. Punishing you for your sins, punishing you for what you didn't do, you know, your lifestyle wasn't right, so you got sick and on and on and on. So we think God is punishing us. You got to understand something. God's love for us is unconditional. There is nothing that you can do, no matter how many banks you rob. Amen. No matter how many buildings you blow up, there is nothing that you can do to affect how much God loves you. And on the other hand, I don't care how many churches you build and how much tithe you pay or an offering that you give, there's nothing that you can do to cause God to love you more. He's already wide open. Amen. And we do all of those wonderful things, tithes and offering and build churches because we love God. So reading on, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, that's a very important word, underline the word diligently. In other words, if you diligent about something, you are consistent. Amen. Amen. You diligently seek him. So are you diligently seeking God, or is God just a 911 person to you? The only time you go if there is a crisis going on. The record got your car jacked up. You looking out the window praying in tongues. It ain't prayed in 9 weeks. So you're not diligently seeking God. So you got to be diligent about seeking God. I started talking a few weeks ago about we all must get closer to God. And the way we do that is that we continually to have a strong fellowship with God when we wake up in the morning, whatever time you wake up, you know, leave some time for God. And then all throughout the day, you plugging back in 5 minutes here. 10 minutes there, lunchtime, you know, if you got time for lunchtime, you're plugging back into God. So you are never really away from his presence. You're never really away from who he is because you're diligently seeking him all the time. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit will start quickening or making alive things in our minds and in our bodies in which God wants us to do. And we'll start getting sharper in every area of our life. And all those things that you are suffering with, can't stop drinking, can't stop smoking, can't stop running your mouth. Somebody say, ouch. Amen. You know, on and on and on, you will find that all of those uncontrollables will now start to become control because we're not only yielding to God, but we're yielding to the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a shame how we as Christians have gone about throughout all of these years trying to do everything in our own might and our own strength. You know, our children mess up. You know, we are up all night long, eyes bucked like 50 cents. You know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, we the devil start messing with your head. Now you know you've been a good mama. You know you've been a good daddy. You know, you sometimes them knuckleheads just make ungodly choices. And ain't nothing you can do about that. Praise God. But you got to trust God. Amen. You got to trust God. And I know it's a hurting thing when your children are not doing right. But you've got to trust God that everything is going to be all right. Amen. So we got to trust God with everything that we have, including our offspring, including our spouses, including our job, our money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's so very important that we do that. And the closer you get to God, the better you'll feel. You're having trouble concentrating. Are you close to God? You're having trouble keeping money in your pocket. Are you close to God? See, because if you're close to God, you're going to do the right thing with what that seed that he give you. You'll sow that seed. That seed will produce for you, and you will have, you'll always have substance in your pocket. And so it's, you got to understand, we are all of us, pulpit to the pew, to the back door, to the parking lot, to the side lots, to the street. We are all in a war. There's a spiritual war going on. Now, you may not talk about, I ain't no war. Well, see, you that's the kind of, you're the kind of person the devil lack. And saying that you're not in it, but you know, you are a prisoner. Matter of fact, you are a prisoner of war, don't even know it. Glory to God. But see, the hand of God, the power of God, can break, what that sister say, break every chain. Break every chain. And that's the key, saint to God. We've got to start trusting God more. The church, we've got to get more. We've got to get united more and be about the things of God. We've got to tell this unsaved generation. There's a whole lot of people in this town that are not saved. We've got to tell them the truth about God. Amen. Folks need to know the truth. And not only that, but there is a whole lot of going on in churches that ain't truth. It is tradition, and it's wrong tradition because it's not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It's what somebody said 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and everybody repeating it and haven't taken the time to look in the Word to see whether it's true and back it up. If you can't back it up with the Word of God, don't put no trust in it. So we got to do more better. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is. Faith is not something that you're going to you're going to put it on layaway, and as soon as you don't pay enough tithe, and as soon as you don't clean enough toilets, and as soon as you don't, served enough dinner and witness enough that you can get it out of layaway, now faith is. The Word of God says, for God has dealt or given to every man the measure of faith. And so everybody got faith. It depends upon what you do with it. It's just like muscles. Everybody got muscles. But until you do something with muscles, you can have big muscles or little muscles. Amen. Faith is the same way. I liken faith to a muscle. The more you exercise it, the bigger your faith will become. And you'll get to the point where no matter what you hear, what is going on in your mind, your body, or your around you, you know that God is going to pull you out of it. You don't know how. See, the how-to is up to God. Amen. And so all we need to do is just keep out the switch of faith turned on and let God be God. But we got a part that we've got to play. And that we got to diligently seek him. We got to be close to him all the time. When we left off last time, we said that there were three powers that very important that worked in faith, and one of them was love. Amen. So in other words, faith works by love, L-O-V-E. And that's one of the hardest things that we have to do or to activate in our lives is love, because we confuse love with lack. And we may not lack somebody, and you confuse that you don't love them. See, lacking is not a commandment. Loving is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. You know, it is I would prefer that you like me, but I'm trusting that that we all smart enough that you're gonna love me, and me you, glory to God. And so don't get caught up on whether you lack somebody or not. Lack is just preference. You know, it's you know, if you're an eagle, you probably like eagle better than you like chickens. But in the church, you got eagles and you got chickens. And so we all got to eat together and love on one another until we figure out that we ain't chickens, that we eagles. Glory to God. Amen. So love is so very important. So the more you get closer to God, the more you will understand that God will never fail you. God never fails us. Now, we fail our own self, and we blame it on God. God will never fail you. God is not up, you know, at some giant heavenly computer zapping people, you know, and you know, because you did too much cocaine. He said, well, you know, when he's 45, you know, or she's 45, their heart gonna burst. Just give out on them because they did too much. No, he's not like that. God is on our side. He's on our side, saints of God. Go to 1 John. God loves us. Boy, you got to get an understanding of that. 1 John chapter 4. First John 4:9 says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son unto the world that we might live through him. Sent his only Son, only begotten Son into the world. Herein is love. In other words, that's love, sending your only begotten Son to perish. That we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. In other words, or that word means sacrifice. Glory to God. And so you got to understand how much God loves you. He sacrificed his Son. And then so he said in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Glory to God. Amen. If God sent his Son to die for us, why we can't, you know, God didn't ask none of us to die for each other. Why can't we love one another? Why is it that we, you know, the Christians, some Christians, some of the most meanest, sneakiest, devious people you ever seen? Amen. You know, we wear the Christian mask very well. We in church, we know when to say amen. Glory to God. We got it all down. We got the dance down. We got the clap down. We got all the little, you know, all the little iterations down. But do we have love down? And that's very important. Amen. I'm around people regular, especially in government, that I love them, but I don't like them. I don't like their lifestyle. I don't like what they do, but I love them. And I don't, you know, and they don't get that what my grandmama, maybe your grandma would call it too. She had a word called nice, nasty. And so I, you know, I'm not nice, nasty with people. Glory to God. You know, you acting like you all right. You know, you doing what my, one of my favorite, well, yeah, probably the favorite group from the 70s, vocal group was the OJs. Say, smiling in your face all the time. They want to take your place. Backstabbers. Amen. What they do? Oh, goodness. Amen. And so there's a lot of phoniness with in the body of Christ. We one way when we see you, and another way when we and you another way when we don't see you. It's a lot of phoniness, and that's the stuff that breaks God's heart. Amen. If you want to please anybody, you always want to please God. God see your phoniness a mile away. It breaks his heart for us to be phony. So that's a lot of work the church got to do in order for us to have the miracles and the signs and wonders that God wants us to have. We're so preoccupied with having our way that we won't allow God to have his way. Verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love of that God has to us. God is love." See, he is love. He don't know what else to do. Amen. When you is something, you know, if that's what you do. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein, glory to God. Glory to God. Is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Oh, thanks to God, you don't know how powerful you are. You don't know how much God loves you. You don't know the authority that you have in your tongue. That's why God keep us all fussing at each other all the time. That's why the devil keep us fussing all the time and cussing all the time, because there is power in our tongue that the devil don't want us to know about. And so he always will pervert that which is good. And so instead of praising God, we use his name in profanity. And we're doing it the wrong way. And this is elementary faith we're talking about here, saints of God. You've got to love. If you want your faith to work, you got to love. You've been praying for something that ain't happened, just check your love out. Amen. Check your love out. What did the BG say? How deep is your love? Check your love out. That may be the problem. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. See, this truth will make you free. John 17. It says that it sanctifies us. You need to know the truth. You come to church. You didn't come to church to be entertained. I know a lot of people think they come to church to be entertained. What, you know, with the choir and the praise team and all these other things. That's not why you come to church. You come to church to hear the good news. Now, if you get entertained while you're getting that, then that's called icing. But we've specialized in churches that entertain and not bring forth the good news. Because I can't tell you to stop sleeping around, and I'm sleeping around. So you won't never hear no stop sleeping around sermons from the pulpit if the pastor and the deacons hold it. And even if the pastor right and the deacons ain't right, he ain't going to say nothing because they're controlling his money. Amen. That's why they don't tell the truth in a whole lot of places, because some people got their hands on their money and they're looking at them and say, "Boy, I dare you. I dare you to say something. Well, I know you saw me coming out of the hotel. I dare you to say something." They won't be saying that verbally, but they eyes tell him. And so he just go ahead and hoop and make everybody happy and everybody go home. Glory to God. No, it's time for the truth. In John 17, y'all found it yet? In verse 17, as I said a couple of weeks ago, this is a prayer. And he said in verse 17, he talking about Jesus. This whole prayer is Jesus praying to the Father. And he said, "Sanctify them." That's us. Through thy truth. And then, just in case we don't know what the truth is, Jesus said, "Thy word." This book is the truth. Amen. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them, separate them, call them apart by the word, because the word of God is truth, thanks to God. And he goes on to say, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them. You know, he sent his disciples out as well. And we're hopeful. and we're trusting to send folks out into the world. Amen. We've got a team. And we're going to be activating again real soon. Praise God. 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through what? Through the truth. So the truth does what? Makes us free.
Glory to God. And it sanctifies us.
Verse 23. He says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know, who may know? That thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as, oh goodness, thou hast loved me. Look what Jesus is saying. He loved us. Because we was the world one time. We're not the world now. But he said that he loved them. Just like he loved Jesus. Well, you can't. Man, don't ever doubt God's love. Wow. Glory, glory, glory. Mm. And then we also said beforehand, we talked. We won't go back over that, but we talked about hope. Hope is so very important. Hebrews 11. Let's go back there. Hebrews 11. Just want to mention hope again. It says in Hebrews 11, now, see, faith is always now, not tomorrow. You believe you receive what? When you pray. Now, faith is the substance or the tangibility of things hoped for. When you're hoping for something, it is not tangible yet. Faith will make it tangible. But you have to have hope. Hope is kind of like that compass that calls things to happen. So three things: hope, love, and patience. Now we're going to talk about patience. I don't think we hit patience last time. Faith works in hope, and it works by love with patience. Now what is patience? Now, there's been a couple of words in the Word of God about patience. One of them is long-suffering. That means patience. Now, everybody said, well, I got that. I've been suffering a long time, Pastor. But patience is, long-suffering is suffering without grumbling. A lot of people suffering, but they're grumbling the whole way. Everybody know that they're suffering. Amen. And if you didn't know, you will know, because they're going to stop you and tell you, I'm suffering. Go to James chapter 1. Things take time. Amen. You know, healing is a process. Unless the gifts of the spirits are in operation, you can get some instantaneous healings. But almost all healings are a process. And that's why so many people miss it with healing. Because you'll pray for them and they'll be looking at the hand going back to the seat. I'd be saying, oh my goodness. Ain't nothing wrong with looking at the hand, but as you're looking at it, you should be saying, Father, I believe that my hand is healed. It's still, you know, won't move the way you want it to move or what have you, or hurting. We come and we expect everything because, see, you got to understand, this high-tech society has spoiled us. We think everything, you know, back in the day, they used to have something called Jiffy Pop, and you put it on the stove, and it was like in an aluminum type. You remember? I don't know. You might not be old. aluminum type pan, and then the popcorn would start popping. Man, you put something in the microwave now for 1 minute, and the popcorn is popped. And we think that healing works like a microwave. Now, it depends upon many things. It depends upon the level of anointing that's upon the person that lays hands on you and their faith. It depends upon your faith. See, what we do is we relegate all the faith to the prayer, and we don't bring squat dooley up to the altar. We ain't believing for nothing. We expecting for the man or the woman or what have you to have enough faith to cause you to be healed. And that's why most people manifestation don't occur, because they place everything on the person. It's like marriage. You can't go in no marriage talking about, well, I'm going to bring my 50%. He going to have 50. Put 50 and 50 together, you got what? Uh-uh. You bring 100, he bring 100. Amen. That's called wholeness. Amen. You wait for somebody, you're talking about, oh, he complete me. Well, right now he is, but you at some point you're gonna use him up. And he gonna be gone, or you gonna be gone. Somebody gonna be gone. Amen. You gotta understand, saints of God, you got to bring your faith to the table. Amen. It says in what's that, John? Let the sick call the elders of the church. Is that John? First John? James 5:14? Something like that? Keep your, we're done with that. James 5:14? James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? The answer to that is usually 1,000 times yes. Amen. You got to be kidding me. I bet you can go to the mall right now, pick out any three people random, or 5 or 10, and half of that group going to have something wrong with them. Really? I mean, it's just crazy the way stuff is going on. And that is not an indictment. I'm just saying is that until and unless we understand and start doing more of this word, more word doing, and less Facebooking, amen, and shopping and all this other stuff, ain't nothing wrong with shopping. But if you know more about shopping than you know about James 5:14, hey, you're expert in the wrong thing. Amen. You need to know what James, it says, is there, James 5:14 says, is there any sick among you? And the answer to that is what? Yes. Why you ask? Let him call for the elders of the church, not the pastor. elders of the church. And that's why so many pastors get worn out. You call them folks 2 o'clock, talking about you sleep. Yeah! No, I'm just waiting for your call. Please. Let them call for the elders of the church and let them elders, pray over him, anointing him with oil. See, the oil, the newsflash, oil don't heal you. Oil is a point of contact. Oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Of faith, not doubt. Now you don't be praying, Lord, if it be thy will, somebody gonna die. Because God already done told you that with long life will I satisfy you. Amen. So you need to find out what, most people don't know what the will of God is. And they're praying, if it be, or I hear people all be breaking my heart. I'm praying, and all while I'm praying, they're going, please God, please God. I don't say nothing. But you don't have to beg your daddy. My daughter Tracy asked me for something or to do something. I don't care what I got to do. The answer is what, Tracy? Yeah. Amen. Now, if I, an earthly father, can do that, glory to God, how much more will our heavenly Father, glory to God, do that? You got to understand something, saint to God. We got a good God, but we got to get closer to him. Amen. Praise God. Maybe we just need to have a closer to him prayer meeting on a Friday. You say, well, I get my hair. Well, come with the rods in your hair. Ain't going to keep you long. You tell the lady, say, well, you know, I know y'all had me under the dryer for an hour, and you just go ahead and pray. The Holy Ghost will dry your hair, and your hair will look better than it ever looked. Glory to God. But we got to get closer to God. We don't deal with God until there is an emergency, till the baby's sick, till you're about to get fired, till, you know, they're about to repossess something. Then you get real spiritual. No, let's stay spiritual, thanks to God. Right. Amen. Yeah. James, let's go back. Let's go to the first chapter of James. Did I finish 5:14, 5? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Who gonna raise him up? The
Lord.
No, the deacon gonna raise him up. The choir gonna raise him up. And the Lord shall raise him up. Now look at this, thanks to God. You talk about a good God. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. You weren't even going in there thinking about no sin, but God said, I'm going to give you a double portion. I'm going to heal you and fix your sins too. My goodness, that's why he's so good. You ought to want to know somebody like that. I want to know somebody like that. You know, them housewives in Atlanta, you don't want to know them with their nasty. You don't want to know them. Some of this TV they got now is just wretched. Wretched. Folks just act ugly. You know, you don't want your daughters acting like that. You know, they looking good and there's too much excess. Spending money on the wrong kind of stuff. If you know what I mean. Y'all found James. It ain't hard to find. You was already in it. Verse 1, talking about patience. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have any patience? Glory to God. I'm telling you what, you have to raise, when you're raising children, you need what? Patience. You got to have plenty of patience. If you married, you need what? Patience. Amen. Glory to God. Because, you know, I used to, when we used to go to the store, I say, all right, I'm gonna be sitting right here. And because, you know, I always have got something to read. But I don't want to look at no 38 different dresses. Now, you want to know how something look, I'll come in and I'll tell you how it look. But I could be done read me a chapter or two of something. Now, you know, y'all in there, you know, you wish you had a book. I be seeing some people, I say, my goodness, maybe I'll offer them my book. You can tell they don't want to be there. But they scared to say something. Nothing wrong with going now. You know, it's good. Do the right thing. Do what you got to do until you can straighten it out, you know. Don't try to do what pastor do. You might be homeless. But what work in my house may not work in your house. Amen. Everybody got different rules. You understand that. I'm go home and say, I'm do that. Okay. Okay. Remember, you heard me warn them, didn't you? Glory to God. James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. What? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, oh goodness, worketh patience or produces patience. Glory to God. So the more your faith is tried, with temptations or what have you, it produces patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, or perfect or mature and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Amen. So understand this also. Problems are not sent by God to perfect you. Amen. We create our own problems. They're not sent by God. Now, they've got somebody sending them, but it ain't God. So you can't say, well, the Lord is trying me. See, it's the enemy that wants you destroyed. When I say you, I'm talking about us. He wants all of us destroyed. And you better know this. He will destroy your anything that you will allow him to destroy. He'll destroy, the worst thing he can destroy in your life is your want to. I mean, you don't even have the desire to get out the mess that you're in. That's a bad place to be. I'm in a mess, but I ain't got enough want to get out the mess. It's easier to stay in the mess. I don't know about you. I don't like being in no mess. That mess don't even sound like something you want to be in. Well, yeah, he in the mess. That don't even sound like something you want to be in. Goodness. Let's get out of that. Amen. See, when you respond properly in a problem, it'll make you stronger. How you respond will determine how long you are in the mess. If you fall apart, then it's just going to take you a whole lot to get out of it. So that's why when as you get closer to God, you get some bad news. Now, it'll always hurt you for a nanosecond. But that's all that should be hurting you. You can't fall apart. You got to understand that God is going to take care of you. My goodness. Y'all believe that or not? Amen. Amen. Look, problems don't build character. Submitting to God does. You want to build your character? Start submitting to God. Amen. Obey God. God say, put that $500 in the offering and don't go to the mall this week. You're going to say, say what? How did I know that's you, God? See, if you're close to him, you'll recognize his voice. That's telling me you're not close. Amen. Glory to God. Submitting to God. Build your character. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Then we're going to close. Faith, faith, faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I got some faith. Well, I wish that bunch in the wilderness had some faith. I'm constantly amazed. And I ain't trying to throw rocks at them. But they saw what they, as they used to say, with their own eyes. They had ocular proof. Some of the greatest miracles that have ever happened. Not a few, a lot of them. They had fire following them, food falling out of heaven, water coming out of rocks. And it never was enough. They wouldn't trust God. And at some point, God got tired of them. They all of them died. That older generation, they all died in the wilderness. And so the younger generation, Joshua and Caleb and the younger folks, those are the ones that went to the promised land. My, my, my. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence or the assurance that we have in him. Who in the world is him? God. In God. So you got to, when you got to get close to him to get have confidence in him. Amen. How you going to have confidence in somebody you don't even know? How many of y'all would just give me y'all keys to your house? Somebody just come by and just you say, ma'am, I'm new to this neighborhood. I just want to use the bathroom. You just say, well, we finna leave. You just come on in and just lock up when you leave. You're going to sit there and wait till he get out of there. Why? Because you don't have no confidence in him. You ain't close to him. And the same with God. If you're not close to him, you will not have confidence that he's going to do what he said that he can do and will do and has done and will keep on doing. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Listen very carefully. If we ask, underline the word ask, anything, underline the word anything, according to his will, underline according to his will, he hears us. What's the criteria? I got to ask, but how do I ask something from God? According to his will. What's God's will? His word. So, saints of God, if you ain't close to God, then you don't know no scriptures to ask God something according to his will. So when you pray, you have to have some word going in there, the throne room with you. Glory to God. Let me read that again, in case you think I wrote this. I didn't write this. And this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything, yeah. But it's got to be according to the word of God. And in the word of God, we'll take care of any of your anythings. Amen. So you can't ask something dumb. Say, God, get rid of this wife and let me get a... Nah. That ain't in the word. Now I know some folks done that in the word, but that wasn't God's will. So got to be right now. Don't let the devil mess up your the way you're thinking. 15. And if, underline the word if, everything is conditional. Now, if we know that he hears us, see, maybe you don't think God hear you. That's your problem. Well, God don't hear me. I drank too much gin and juice. You can't drink enough gin and juice to cause God not to love you. If you can feel it, if we can waterproof this room and fill it up and give you a straw and put you on the roof, you can't drink enough gin and juice to cause God not to love you. You got to understand that, saint of God. And if we know that he hears us, so you got to know when you go to God that God is hearing you, saint to God. You got to know it. Because the devil will mess with your head. So how you know he heard you? And you tell the devil, say, devil, obviously you can't read. So let me read something to you. And then you start reading him like Jesus did. He told him what was written. And if we know that he hears us, that whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Oh, goodness. Saints, boy, those are two of the most powerful two verses in the Word of God. You know, according to his will. When you do that, then know that God heard you. His will is his word. And it's just a matter of time before others will see the manifestation of your blessing. Glory to God. Because God has brought you to your wealthy place. Amen. Glory to God. And so that's why we got to get close to God, saints. Because there is, as that song say, in his presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at his feet, peace of mind can still be found. And if you have a need, I know he has the answer. Why? Because we're standing on holy ground. Glory to God. Amen. And so, oh, what a good God we serve. And boy, learn songs to sing to God. I'll make up a song quick. You got to be like the little children. Little children make up songs too all the time. Keep that part of you childish when you're around your daddy. Just let him know, say, God, you know, I really don't want nothing today. I'm just up in here because I love you. You are such a good God. Amen. Glory to God. You've done so many good things for me and my family. So I just want you to know we love you. I want you to know that we're going to serve you with all our heart, all our mind, all our might, and all of our strength. Glory to God. And we will never, just like you will never leave us, we ain't leaving you, God. If you choose another heaven, we packing up, we following you. You ain't never getting rid of us. So, you know, that's how you have conversation with. And then you ask God, say, God, ask him, say, how can I get closer to you? How can I understand the word better? Amen. How can I start to get revelations from your word? Ask God, what is it that you need? Oh, he's such a good God. Amen. Don't isolate yourself from God. Run to God. You mess up, put your Nikes on and start sprinting to God. Say, God, I done messed up. I know ain't no sense in me trying to hide, because where am I going to hide from you at? Amen. So I'm running to you. I'm sprinting to you. I'm running to you fast to let you know how much I love you. If your heart ain't right, you've been treating people ugly, you know, recognize that and fix it. You ought to say, yeah, God, I'm so ugly, I don't even like my own self. Goodness. You're treating other people bad. I don't even like my own self. Goodness. Wow. Say, God, help me. I don't want to be this way. I call that a spiritual checkup, a heart checkup. Amen. What we missing that, you know, you don't have to wait till Sunday to come to the altar to cry. Fix that immediately. Get on your knees and say, God, I be doing. In case you don't know here, I'm going to tell you again. Every Friday, we go to the strip club. Matter of fact, God, I don't even like being in the strip club no more. But my cousin and them, you know, if I don't go, they clown me out. And so, you know, I'm spending $300, $400 in there. I can't, you know, and so you have to ask God for strength. Because, you're trying to please your cousins more than you pleasing God. You could use that $400 for something positive. Amen. See, a lot of times we get caught up in because we just won't say nothing because we don't want to hurt somebody's feeling. Yeah, I said, cuz, y'all going to the club. I'll be praying for y'all while y'all in that club. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray that y'all don't have a good time at all. I'm praying that the sprinklers will come on while y'all in there. I'm praying that when you're dancing, the floor going to be so slippery, you're going to be falling on the floor. Glory to God. So we can change, but we got to get closer to God. I got to get closer to Him. We got to get closer to Him. That's got to be our, you know, that, if we want to have those manifested blessings that we've been talking about for 2017. Who said that, Lana? Just to be close to you. We got to get closer. Amen. Got to get tight with God. That's an old school term. We tight. Got to get tight with God. Matter of fact, if folks ain't jealous with your relationship with God, you ain't tight enough. You ain't tight enough if folks ain't jealous of your relationship with God. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting tight. Glory to God. Amen. So that's all I have for faith. We'll start something next week. I don't know what the Lord has in store as of yet. Amen. But you better believe it's good. Amen. Everything He brings here is good. So you better believe it's good. Hallelujah. How many of y'all love the Lord? Amen. Amen. So let's get closer to Him. Amen. Believe that He hears your prayers. Hallelujah. If you're married, start putting your mate ahead of you. You say, what? And I say, you done gone to Melvin now, Pastor. I'm trying to tell you how you can have some heaven right here on earth. You put him or her ahead of you, and then him or her start to reciprocate, you got you some heaven going right here on earth. But if it's all about you all the time, now, ain't nobody said nothing, but deep inside, if I know who it was, they would say, well, you know, Pastor, I love him, I love her, but I'm a little miserable. You don't want nobody to be miserable because you got your way all the time? That's a dictatorship. Goodness. Goodness. You know, we get married, we get a little selfish. I got to have a new car. Well, you done had the last five new cars. Why he can't get no new car? Get a car and you done took the keys. Come on now. Glory to God. Let him have something. Amen. We need to have a marriage meeting real soon. Get all these married people together. Put somebody in head of that. Hallelujah. Seriously, we're going to get together real soon. And a singles meeting, too. We need to do that, too. I ain't going to be ahead of that. Put somebody else ahead of that. Glory to God. Amen. That's all I got. Praise God. Y'all stand to you. Wait. No. Hallelujah. Altar call. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Want to give you an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. Today is a good day to get saved. God saves senior citizens. He saves college students, elementary kids, high school graduates. He's in the saving business. Amen. So if you're not saved, don't try to say, well, Pastor, let me think about it. You weren't listening at all if you got to think anymore. What else you got to hear? God is a good God. He loves you unconditionally. And if you want to get better out of your life, while your head is bowed and your eyes closed, say, Pastor, that's me. Raise your hand, and I'll know that's you that needs salvation, that wants salvation. Don't wait. I'm telling you, life can end in a snap. One person looking the wrong way when you're leaving this building today can cause you to lose your life in your automobile. Amen. Whatever you do, don't die without Jesus being your Lord and Savior. Also, it's so very important that every Christian ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You say, well, Pastor, I don't believe in tongues. Well, you don't believe in the word then. Because Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, if Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, if he could speak in tongues, it seemed like you could speak in tongues too. The reason that most people don't want to speak in tongues, because once again, as I was saying earlier, is we learn that from church, you know, it's against certain denominations or what have you. But what does the word say about that? And then lastly, if you don't have a church home, I want to be your pastor. I'm asking you, would you let me be your pastor? So I believe we got a good church here. We got 100 member mega church. Glory to God. And it's never too late to answer those calls, by the way. If you don't answer it now and you see me in the parking lot, well, I'll pray for you then. Amen. You can raise your hands. Glory to God. Activate that mic and give it to Mother Verdale.